So today's reading is Matthew chapter 1, and this one contains some very tricky names, and so I'll give it my best shot. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab was the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam, the father of Abijah, Abijah, the father of Asa, Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram, Jehoram, the father of Uzziah, Uzziah, the father of Jotham, Jotham, the father of Ahaz, Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh, Manasseh, the father of Ammon, Ammon, the father of Josiah, and Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel was the father of Abiud, Abiud the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliud, Eliud the father of Eliza, Eliza the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. And breathe. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said in a dream, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded with him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's take a moment and pray together. Jesus, you're amazing, and we love you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for Matthew's gospel and the extraordinary book that it is, and I pray as we look through it together that you would speak in power into our lives and change us. So may these words of my lips and these meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Amen. So have you ever been talking to someone about Jesus and you say to them, "Perhaps you should read the Bible," and they ask you, "Well, what should I read?" And you reply, "Oh, maybe you should try a gospel, perhaps Mark or maybe John." Why do we do that? Why do we never ever say the first one? Why do we never say, "Why didn't you read Matthew?" Perhaps it's because you turn to the start of the New Testament and you run straight smack into this huge list of very intimidating names. What's that all about? Well, today I want to try and convince you that this genealogy at the start of Matthew is absolute genius. Absolute genius. If you were a first century Jew reading this list of names, your immediate response would be, this is my family. This is my people. This is my story. This isn't a story from long, long ago, far, far away. This is my story. And Matthew is saying, by using this genealogy, that his account of Jesus, his gospel, is the continuation of the whole story that has gone before, the whole story of the Old Testament. Now, my guess is that most of us who are listening to this probably aren't Jewish, but the story of Israel in the Old Testament is the story of how God is going to save the world from sin and evil and death. And that is a story that we all need. The first words of Matthew's Gospel in the original Greek are Biblios Genesis, literally the book of Genesis. And so the Gospel literally opens by saying, Book of Genesis, Jesus Messiah, Son of David, Son of Abraham. And it's hard to see how Matthew could have squeezed more meaning in to just 8 words. Matthew is linking together the creation, Jesus the Messiah, the promised descendants of David, and the promises made to Abraham. So, what is so special about David and Abraham? If you go right back to the beginning of the Old Testament, God made an amazing promise to Abraham, and it went like this. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Right back at the beginning of the Bible again, God created the world and he blessed it. But humanity rejected God and messed everything up. And so God had to curse humanity in order to stop sin and evil flourishing and doing even more damage. And then God makes this promise to Abraham that he was going to bless the whole world through Abraham's descendants. Bless, the reverse of curse. In other words, God was going to undo the effect of Adam's sin through the descendants of Abraham. Now, how is he going to do that? Much further in the Old Testament, God promised King David a descendant who would bring peace and who would rule an everlasting kingdom. That promise would be, that king would be the Messiah, the Christ. So let's join all of these different bits in verse 1 together. Jesus, the king promised to David, who would fulfill the promise to Abraham and rescue the world from sin, evil and death. Jesus is the king promised to David, who would fulfill the promises to Abraham and rescue the world from sin, evil and death. That is the good news. That's the news we all need to hear. Now let's take a little bit more of a look at some of the details in this extraordinary list of names. First thing to see is that Matthew has given his list a very clear structure. And just in case we miss it, he explains it in verse 17. There were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There were 14 from David to the exile to Babylon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And there were 14 from the exile to the Christ. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, in the Bible, certain numbers are symbolic. Back in Genesis, God made the world in 7 days. And so in the Bible, seven represents creation and completion. So in Matthew's great list of names, there are six pairs of seven, and Jesus is the start of the seventh seven. In other words, Jesus is the one who sums up all of creation. Jesus is the end of the old world order and the start of the new world order. Now, if you think back to that Genesis creation story, the seventh day in the creation story was a Sabbath, a day of rest, because Jesus brings us peace and brings us rest. Now, if we dig further into the list of names, we find a few surprises. It mentions several mothers. Now, in our culture, that's not unusual. A family tree would always include both mums and dads. But this is very unusual in ancient Jewish culture. And not only does this genealogy include women, it doesn't include the women that you might expect. It includes Tamar, who exposed and stood up to the unrighteousness of her brother. It includes Rahab, a Gentile prostitute who chose to serve God. It includes Ruth, who was a foreigner. It includes Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, who was the victim of sexual exploitation by King David. And it includes Mary, an unmarried mother. God is not just interested in men, the righteous or the powerful. God is Lord of everyone and has chosen to put some really unexpected names into the spiritual history and ancestry of Jesus the Messiah. God is the God of the underdog. God is the God of the victim, of the marginalised, of the rejected. And God chooses to use those very people in his great plans. So, that's the genealogy. And finally, I want to say something about the rest of the chapter. And the really big idea in the rest of the chapter is that Jesus' mother was Mary, but Jesus' father was not Joseph, but the Lord God Almighty. Now, this is not the crude way that Islam sometimes suggests that the Bible is teaching. It's not Mary and God fathering a child together, because Mary was still a virgin when she had Jesus. What it means is that Jesus is both God and man, and so he can rightly be called Emmanuel, God with us. Because he's both God and man, Jesus can show us what a perfect human life is supposed to look like. And at the same time, he can help us to understand and relate to God. Think of the Shakespeare play Hamlet. If you're like me and you've never seen it, it's a play about a king called Hamlet. And so, here's a question for you. Can Shakespeare, who wrote the play, ever meet Hamlet, a character in the play? What do you think? Well, my immediate answer would be no, Shakespeare lives in a totally different reality to Hamlet. Of course Hamlet can't meet Shakespeare. There's no way Hamlet can find Shakespeare. But perhaps there is a way that they could meet. What if Shakespeare wrote himself into the story of the play and introduced himself to Hamlet? Then Hamlet would meet Shakespeare. There's no way Hamlet could make it happen, but just perhaps Shakespeare could make it happen. And that is the extraordinary claim that the Bible makes about Jesus Christ. God has written himself into the story of human history in the person of Jesus so that we can meet God, so that we can get to know what God is like, so we can enter into a relationship with God. Jesus, the first century Jewish carpenter, is also Emmanuel, God with us. Extraordinary. So that's how Matthew starts his gospel. Jesus is the Messiah, the king promised to David, that will make good on the promises to Abraham and rescue the world from sin, evil and death. Jesus is the seventh seven, the conclusion of the old world order and the start of the new world order. And God is not just for rich or spiritual or powerful men. God invites everyone into his purposes. The Creator steps into his creation and introduces himself to us in the person of Jesus. And that is the story that Matthew is going to tell us over the next 27 chapters. Today, God is reaching out to us. God wants to rescue us, restore us, bring us into his family, invite us into his great plan. And that invitation is not just for the great and the good, it extends to the insignificant and the bad. God loves us. God wants us. God is reaching out to us in Jesus. How are we going to respond to this introduction to our Almighty Creator in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you do love us, that you want us. You haven't left us in our sin and our blindness and our death. But you have come to us in Jesus, and you have offered us forgiveness and cleansing and restoration and new and eternal life. You have come to restore and remake this world. Lord, will you bring this alive to us? Will you take this from just being an idea in our heads and make it a burning reality in our heart, in our community together, that we might help society and the community around us see the wonder of you, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.